Never. Well, George, oh, you better come in then.
Thank you. Cup of tea and a digestive biscuit.
Oh.
Sorry to have to wake you, but it is 10 o'clock.
Is it?
And you don't want to keep Donald waiting, do you, when he calls?
Oh, I meant to set the alarm. Must have slipped my mind. This is very good of you, George.
My pleasure. Here you go.
Thank you. Oh, that's good.
Hot and strong. I'll open the curtains.
I had very odd dreams.
About flying saucers, were they?
No, they were not. And if you're going to smile that superior smile, I'd rather you took yourself off elsewhere.
I'm sorry, Arthur. What were your dreams about?
Well, I'm not going to tell you now. I'm not the only one, you know. Other people have seen them too, and recently. There was a piece in the Herald only the other day.
Which you poo-pooed as arrant nonsense, if I remember rightly. You pointed out that one of the witnesses was an elderly lady who lived on a park bench. You felt she might be a bit unreliable.
But I am not.
You were a sceptic, Arthur.
No longer. We all have our road to Damascus, you know.
It probably was an aeroplane, you know.
You come with us, George.
Hmm?
With Donald and me.
Well, to the heat.
Keep an open mind. Listen to what he has to say.
I'd rather read my Sunday papers.
Did you know that UFO sightings were made as early as 1808 and continued throughout the 19th century? Did you know that a celebrated French scientist had estimated from available data that as many as 3 million landings could have taken place in the last 25 years?
You mean little green men, really, Arthur?
Ask Donald.
Right, I will.
You mean you'll come with us?
If you don't get your skates on, Arthur, you won't be going anywhere.
Hey,
it's the next exit, Lynn.
I know which exit it is. In fact, I think the car could find his own way to Maidenhead by now.
She'll be wearing Pralina first when he comes.
Hey, that's enough of that.
Oh, what?
You mustn't sing songs like that in front of ladies, Jeremy.
Mummy? Oh, she doesn't.
Oh, yes, she does.
Oh, no, she doesn't.
Oh, yes, she does.
When did you learn that version, anyway?
At school.
Ah, so that's what the school fees are for, so he can learn bawdy songs.
Yes, what's bawdy?
You tell him, Matt. You're the expert.
Remind me not to ask you for any references.
Matt?
It means rude and vulgar, Jeremy.
Ah, well, I can be much vulgarer than that. There was a young man from Divine.
That's enough, Jeremy. Calm down.
Ah, you can't blame him, Lynn. Our acne's entitled to bubble over a bit after these last few days. I'm bubbling over myself.
No, I couldn't hear that.
You weren't meant to.
Eat a sweet.
Oh, right. I can't wait to get on that boat. Skipper let me steer last time. He said I had an aptitude for it. I think I'll be a sea captain when I grow up.
Ah, ship off the old block.
Pardon?
I said you were like your father.
Oh, yeah. Daddy says he'd love a boat. When I'm a captain, I'll let him come on mine.
Oh. So, this is the scene of the crime, eh?
As near as makes no difference. It was up there.
And you saw it through those trees?
That's right, Donald, yes.
Gleaming?
Yes.
Stationary and gleaming?
Stationary, but throbbing with power.
You felt that?
Definitely.
And then it shot off?
In that direction, yes, at incredible speed.
Splendid. And from what you told me Friday night, this all happened about 9 p.m.?
Something like that, yes.
Remarkable. Oh, our chairman will be thrilled when I tell him about this.
Chairman?
Donald is a leading member of the North London UFO group, George. I did tell you.
So you did. You're a keen ufologist then, Donald?
I've always been interested.
Ever seen anything?
Unfortunately not.
Rather surprising, isn't it? Since Arthur tells me there could have been, how many landings? 3 million, was it, over the last 25 years?
Our group is more concerned with research than investigation of actual sightings.
Ah, yes, that would account for it. Still, with all those landings, it's a wonder we're not up to our knees in little green men by now.
He's being facetious, Donald. Take no notice.
I don't mind. On the other hand, George, how do you account for this? It happened in 1973 in Ohio. The 4-man crew of a helicopter sighted a grey metallic structure which glowed, hovered above them briefly, and then flew off. Now, don't tell me it was a meteorite, because I don't believe you.
Precisely. I clearly remember Donald telling me that story last week.
Donald, I read somewhere that if there were 1 million civilizations in the galaxy capable of sending out starships, and if each one of them launched one starship per annum, bearing in mind that the galaxy must be full of other interesting places to visit, we might reasonably be expected to receive one visit every 10,000 years, I think it was.
Who said anything about other civilizations, George? I didn't.
Oh, but, Donald, surely...
There doesn't have to be a physical explanation.
Then what else?
But I personally believe in the metaphysical or psychic interpretation.
How do you mean?
Well, there are two main schools of thought on the subject, but I see UFOs as a modern manifestation of elementals. If you like, evil forces, hobgoblins, which have been tormenting our subconscious since the beginning of mankind.
God bless my soul.
I see them as a threat, a slow-burning fuse, and we are the powder keg. Because, you see, there is evidence that they have the power to possess and control the minds of susceptible people as part of a plan by somebody or something. And it may well be that at some future date these process minds will be triggered simultaneously to put that plan into operation. Armageddon. Now that's what I believe. Now, if you don't mind, I'll take a couple of compass bearings, and then it's a quick libation on the house back at the Wagoners. I don't know about you, but I've worked up quite a fuss.
Come on, then, everybody!
Cheerio! Have a good time.
We will.
Come on, Skipper!
I'm coming!
And please don't be too long.
We won't! A quick spin up the river and back in time for lunch.
Well, it'll be on the table till 2. After that, you're going to be unlucky.
Well, see you later then.
Bye, Matt.
Bye, love.
And you see they're back by lunchtime, Lynn.
Don't worry. Hey, you two, wait for me.
Peace at last.
Yes. Matt, are you sure you wouldn't have preferred to go with them?
Positive. Well, it's enough place for wheelchairs. Anyway, I'd rather stay with you.
You'll find me awfully dull company.
Never. Besides, I can always have a kid, can't I? Wouldn't mind wetting my whistle, though.
We've only just had coffee.
Yeah, I know, but old Joe and I want to hold on to this feeling of euphoria. I mean, it doesn't often happen, does it? When all the pieces of the jigsaw come together, and when it does happen, it doesn't last long.
I take it you're referring to Jeremy.
Yes. I suppose Lynn's given you all the details.
On the telephone.
Seem all that chuffed.
I have my reservations, Matt. Why? It's another responsibility for Lynn.
As well as me, you mean?
And the restaurant.
It's what she wanted.
Lynn hasn't always been the best judge of what she wants or what's good for her. She takes on far too much. I also feel extremely sorry for Peter.
He'll be all right.
Well, it's easy for you to say that. But Peter bottles up his feelings.
We were over there yesterday, Joe. Yes, okay, he was upset. Of course he was. But he's coping. In fact, he's got some project he's working on with this chum of his, Mr. Tully. Oh, Peter will be all right.
Well, how's it going to affect your holiday if Jeremy's going to live with his mum?
Well, it needn't affect it at all, actually. I'm keen, and I'm sure Lynn wouldn't object to our taking Jeremy. Why?
Well, I think I can get you a narrowboat if you still want one.
Really?
Nothing definite, of course, because I didn't know exactly when you wanted it or for how long. But if you'd like to give me a date, I think I can swing it all right.
Oh, that's splendid, Mrs. Tully.
Now, on the other matter, I don't want to go on about it, like, but have you got them figures you were working on?
I've got some figures, yes.
Tell us the worst, then.
Well, to start with, it seems there might well be a good market for the hiring out of small motor crews.
Might.
Well, there's no such thing as cast iron certainties in commerce, Mr. Tully. But I've spoken to two chaps who operate in the holiday cruiser field, and both of them say it's a slowly expanding market which will improve when the economy starts to pick up again.
If you mean.
Well, it would be sensible, of course, to start in a small way.
How big is small?
Well, if you could buy in now a fleet of four small cruisers, I think they need to have fiberglass hulls, and refurbish them in time to catch the high season trade.
Well, that's what? At least £8,000 per boat to buy and another 1,000 to refurbish. They were talking about at least £50,000, Mr. Tyson. And that's just for starters.
Well, it is a major project, I know. But think what you've got already.
Well, it's still going to set me back a small fortune.
I reckon you could do the lot for £75,000.
Well, when am I going to find that kind of money?
Do you want me to help you look for it?
There's a rowing boat ahead, Skipper.
Like me to take over?
I don't think so.
Let me know if you do. Just remember the rule of the river.
Aye, aye, sir.
He sits on the stairs at home and plays boats. Do you know that?
Does he?
Mm. Only then he's the captain and you're the mate.
That boy's going to go a long way. Am I allowed a personal remark, Lynn?
Go ahead.
Matt's looking tired.
Yes, he works too hard. Alexis has left us for the arms of some woman, and Matt misses him badly. In the freezer plant and around the house. He can manage, but it takes a lot out of him.
The canteen contract's due for renewal. I could take it away from him.
Is the food up to standard? The
food is good.
So why take the contract away?
If it would make life easier.
Oh, I couldn't do that to him, Brad.
Well, just ask him, that's all.
He needs the hassle.
He's got to let up sometime.
But not yet.
I missed it, Skipper.
Well done, son.
There was hardly any wash either.
Well, just you keep your eyes on where you're going.
All right.
How about a holiday, then?
Oh, wouldn't that be marvelous? But where could we go?
There's Castle.
Be idyllic. I just don't see how.
It's there.
May I think about it?
Don't think too long. You need the break, all of you, including young Jeremy there. He's been through the mill, too, just lately.
Yes. Bless you, Brad. I'll see what we can arrange.
What's happened?
The engine's cut out.
Can you make it go again, Skipper?
Well, I reckon I can take a look.
I bet Mr. Tolly would know what to do if he was here. He'd get it going in 10 seconds flat.
Shush, Jeremy.
But we're going to be late.
Mustard, Arthur? No, thank you. I've had horseradish sauce. I like a bit of topside.
Very tasty. It's kind of you to share it with me. I'd more or less decided to have lunch at the Wagoners again.
Oh, I couldn't have wished that on you, Arthur. Donald's spouting all that rubbish about hobgoblins and Armageddon. You didn't believe it, did you?
Well, it does take a bit of swallowing.
You don't think he was having us on, do you?
He seems sincere enough to me.
That's such tosh. What you saw, Arthur, was an aeroplane.
Oh, no, it wasn't. Nor was it a trick of the light. Nor was it a meteorite. Nor was it any of those other things that you people are always putting forward.
Oh, come along, Arthur, be reasonable. You've been at the Wagoners. You've been drinking. Oh, you were full of Jesse's pie. You'd walked all the way up to the heath.
Now, George, what I saw was solid, and one felt its power. And it hovered, and it flew away at incredible speed. I find it hard to accept, just as I find it hard to accept the interpretation that Donald puts on such phenomena. But the fact remains that I saw it, and nothing you can say can make me change my mind. And now, if you would excuse me, I shall return to my room.
Hey, Arthur, don't be like that.
Thank you.